Good morning. We'll start this morning's Sunday school with a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for bringing us here this morning for Sunday school. We pray, Lord, that Thou will keep us attentive to Thy word, and that we will learn of Thy word, and that our lives may be transformed, that we will do that which is a delight to Thee, and shun away from all evil, and pursue peace. Lord, we pray for Thy goodness to us, Lord. Keep us in good health and strength, and grant us a blessed day. We pray, Lord, that we will learn many precious lessons from this class on Moses. And more importantly, we learn what it is to obey You, what You want of us, and how we may do according to Thy will, so that we may find favor in Thy sight. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Okay, before I start class, I'd like to show you where my notes are found and where the video recording are found. So you look at the screen, this is the Life BP Church website, and you scroll down, and you look at the ministry, Sunday School, you click Sunday School, there you come to Sunday School page. And then Sunday School, you scroll all the way down to Adults Department. You click Adults Department. And then this is the Adults Department of the Sunday School. And then the first one is Adults 1 Class, Spiritual Lessons from the Life of Moses. And you go to Notes. And this is where you find my notes. This is Lesson 1, which is last Sunday. Right? It's all here. And then you may refer to my notes. And then there's also a recording for my lesson. This is the audio recording. Good morning. Today we are going to discuss on the lesson of the life of Moses. And before we start, let us open. Right. So that is the audio recording of Lesson 1. And the video recording is found in the Life Church website itself. So you go back to the Life Church website. Go to the main page. This is the main page of the Life Church website. And below the Sunday School website, you find this Live RTL online. Give it a couple of minutes, not minutes, maybe a while for it to download. Oh, site can't be reached. Ah, here we are. Live RTL online. And you click, to access the online portal, please click on the Live RTL. So you click this. And there you go. So I log in. I have to enter my email and a password, and then I log in. Some of you who have not registered, so please register RTL so you can go into all the videos here. So on here, the first page, spiritual lessons from the life of Moses, and lessons, you click lessons. So this is the video of last lesson, lesson one. Good morning. Today we are going to discuss on the lesson of the life of Moses. And before we start, let us open in a word of prayer. The Bible being the yardstick. And also pay attention to the hard labor, the whipping and physical abuse and oppressive conditions of the Israelites when they endure slavery in Egypt. Yeah? And the story, save them from slavery. They want out of Egypt. They want out by God. To prepare Moses to be a leader. Yeah? So what do we learn from this lesson? That we ourselves are also protected by God. Right? So there you are. My notes and the video recordings are accessible to you on the church website. And let me go on to my slides today. Lesson 2, Moses and the Burning Bush, taken from Exodus 3 and 4. So background, Moses killed an Egyptian guard for beating a Hebrew slave. You remember? The Egyptian guard acted cruelly. He beat a Hebrew slave, and Moses saw him doing it, and he killed the Egyptian slave, the Egyptian guard. And due to Moses' action, Pharaoh wanted to kill Moses. Moses escaped from Egypt to Midian, part of Saudi Arabia today. So you look at this map. On the left-hand side is Egypt. You notice the part which is quite green, that part is called Goshen, which is a very fertile delta where the Israelites settled down to live when Jacob brought his family to Egypt during the time of the famine. And they settled down in Goshen, and then subsequently, because of the new Pharaoh, they became slaves. And then Moses then fled from Goshen all the way down across the Sinai Peninsula into Midian. And there, he was a shepherd for 40 years. Right? Because he had to escape from Pharaoh, who was out to kill him. Moses married Zipporah, a Midianite, and had a son. Moses tended to his father-in-law's flock for 40 years in the mountains of Midian. One day, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. The bush was not burnt by fire. Moses went forward to inspect out of curiosity. So this was in Sinai area. And let me show you the video from Bible Movie app on Moses encountering the burning bush and the conversation that transpired between Moses and the angel of the Lord. Yeah. One question you should consider is, why was Moses reluctant to go to Pharaoh in Egypt? Why was Moses reluctant to go to Pharaoh in Egypt?
Out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, "Here I am." He said, "Don't come close. Take your sandals off of your feet, for the place you are standing on is holy ground." Moreover, he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Yahweh said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. Moreover, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "Certainly I will be with you. This will be the token to you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what should I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "You shall tell the children of Israel this, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God said moreover to Moses, "You shall tell the children of Israel this, 'Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and tell them, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. They will listen to your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall tell him, 'Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to Yahweh, our God. I know that the king of Egypt won't give you permission to go, no, not by a mighty hand. I will put forth my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in his midst. And after that, he will let you go. I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it will happen that when you go, you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, and of her who visits her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. You shall despoil the Egyptians.'" Chapter 4. Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor listen to my voice, for they will say, 'Yahweh has not appeared to you.'" Yahweh said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." He said, "Throw it on the ground." He threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and Moses ran away from it. Yahweh said to Moses, "Put forth your hand, and take it by the tail." He put forth his hand and laid hold of it, and it became a rod in his hand. "That they may believe that Yahweh, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you," Yahweh said furthermore to him, "now put your hand inside your cloak." He put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. He said, "Put your hand inside your cloak again." He put his hand inside his cloak again, and when he took it out of his cloak, behold, it had turned again to his other flesh. "It will happen, if they will neither believe you nor listen to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. It will happen, if they do not believe even these two signs, neither listen to your voice, that you shall take of the water of the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take out of the river will become blood on the dry land." Moses said to Yahweh, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before now nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Yahweh said to him, Who made man's mouth? Or who makes one mute, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Isn't it I, Yahweh? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. He said, O Lord, please send someone else. The anger of Yahweh was kindled against Moses, and he said, What about Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Also, behold, he comes forth to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. He will be your spokesman to the people, and it will happen that he will be to you a mouth, and you will be to him as God. You shall take this rod in your hand, with which you shall do the signs. Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to
him. All right, there you are. Moses encountering God in the burning bush. God's purpose for appearing to Moses was to instruct Moses to rescue the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt. Coming back to my question, why was Moses reluctant to go to Pharaoh in Egypt? Does he have a good reason that he doesn't want to go to Egypt? Because you saw how reluctant he was in the video, how fearful he was to go to Egypt. Why was he fearful? Why was he reluctant to see Pharaoh? How would you feel if God asked you, go to Egypt and rescue 2 million of my Israelite slaves, bring them to the promised land? Would you say yes? Or will you say no? I will say no. In my mind, why would Pharaoh allow 2 million of his slaves to leave Egypt? Pharaoh would say no. If Pharaoh would say no, what am I going to do? Even if Pharaoh says yes, how do I bring 2 million people out of Egypt to the promised land? Where are my logistic support? Today we say logistic support. Yeah? Where are my camels? Where are my horses? Where are my carts? Where are my mass rapid transport for 2 million people? How am I going to bring them out? God, I can't do it. I've never done this. I've never brought 2 million people. I've never rescued 2 million people in my life. I'm just a lowly shepherd. I look after flocks of sheep. So, yes, Moses was reluctant for good human reasons. We're all human. We can't do it. And then I'd like to go through what transpired between Moses and God. Moses said, if you would like to follow me, I'm reading from scripture, Exodus 3:11. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children, bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? And he said, God said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Yeah, so God said to Moses, I will be with you. I will be with thee. That means, I will help you, Moses. Don't worry about who you are. You may be a lowly shepherd, not knowing what to do. I, God Almighty, will be with you and help you. Don't worry. Then Moses asked. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers have sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Moses says, I go to the Hebrew slave. They ask me, What is the name of your God? And what shall I say to them? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. God's name is I am that I am. Yeah? I will go more into that later on, but let us just think about what has just transpired between Moses and God. Moses gave the excuse that he was insignificant. Who am I? I'm a nobody, a lowly shepherd, looking after my father-in-law's flock for 40 years in the wilderness. How can I go and rescue 2 million Hebrew slaves out of Pharaoh and speak to Pharaoh, persuade Pharaoh to say yes to my request? He's going to turn me out flat. So, but God said, I will be with you. Meaning, I will help you. I am Lord God Almighty. You may be a lowly servant, a lowly shepherd for 40 years, but I, God Almighty, will help you. So what is the spiritual lesson here? Moses was an ordinary man, much like us. Yeah? When faced with a difficult God-given task, we are reluctant to do it and will give excuses. I can't speak. I'm a nobody. I can't teach. I can't witness. When I say things, people don't understand me. How do I put it properly in the language that people will understand? They will reject me. Who am I? But if it's God's will, He will use us, weak as we may be, to accomplish great things for Him to His glory. So you notice here, Moses gave excuses. And God didn't say, true, you are lowly shepherd. You don't know what to do. I will call somebody else to do it. God doesn't do that. When He picks on Moses, that's His decision. He doesn't change His mind. Let's move on. The meaning of I am that I am. This is God's name, and the name signifies He is self-existent. Self-existence means He exists from the very beginning, and He did not evolve from some microorganism. Nobody gave birth to Him. He exists from the very beginning. As He is, self-existent. He is eternal and unchangeable, always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He was the God Almighty since, from the very beginning, unchangeable when He created the heavens and the earth and the human race. And He is the same today, forever, unchangeable, eternal. He is incomprehensible. We cannot, by searching, find Him out. We don't understand Him. We only understand Him through the Bible. Why does He do this? Why does He do that? We have many questions. But, and we don't understand. He is faithful and true to all his promises. Faithful and true to all his promises. From the very beginning until today and forever, faithful and true to all his promises. Hasn't he been faithful to us, to his promises to us? Faithful to us in taking care of us? Yes, he has. I can say for sure he has been faithful and true to me, sinful as I am. I have brought upon many trouble for myself, and yet he is faithful and true to me to help me to get out of many of my troubles and failures. So that is the meaning of I am that I am. Okay, let us move on to what transpired between Moses and God next. And so in chapter 4, Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." What if the Israelites do not believe me? Again, I'm nobody, I'm a lowly shepherd. Why should the Israelites believe me that you, God Almighty, have sent me to save them, to rescue them out of Egypt? And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it before. Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thine hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thine hand into thy bosom again." And he put his hand into his bosom and again and plucked it out of his bosom. Behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it came, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So when Moses said, why would they believe me that I am sent by God, Lord God Almighty? God gave him three miraculous signs. The rod in his hand, when cast on the ground, became a snake. When he took the snake by the tail, it became a rod again. Second sign, he put his hand in his chest, took it out, a leprous hand. In those days, leprosy is incurable. So, and he put his hand into his garment again, he took it out, and it was cured. A miracle of God. God says, if the Hebrew slaves do not believe these two signs, take the water from the river Nile and pour it onto dry land. That water turns into blood. Third sign. All these miraculous signs are given to Moses to prove to the Israel slaves that he was sent by God with power from God Almighty. What is the spiritual lesson to us? Our God is a God of power and miracles. He will use his power to help us to accomplish his objectives. We do not have to fear obstacles, as God will overcome the obstacles in our path. I'm sure you've come across many instances in your life where you're surprised that many things happen which you find it difficult to accept. Make no mistake that they are God helping us to change the course of our life and to go to Him with praise and thanksgiving. We have a God that will help us. Mighty is His power. But look, Moses is still not convinced. And he went on to say, verse 10 of chapter 4, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses said, I can't talk. How to speak in front of Pharaoh? It's just like when we appear before the prime minister, what do you say? He asks you a question. How do you answer the prime minister or the president of the country? Answer in a way which is eloquent and comprehensible and intelligent. You are before the president, and you must make yourself intelligent and comprehensible. So here we have Moses saying, he can't talk properly in front of Pharaoh. And God said, now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. I will help you to speak properly, God said. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Even with God's help to speak properly, he said, please don't send me, send someone else. Yeah. And God said, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Yeah. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. So God said, I will send Aaron to help you to speak. He will be your spokesman before Pharaoh. The strange thing is, if you read on in the chapters when Moses met Pharaoh and during the period of the 10 plagues, it was always Moses speaking, not Aaron. So you see what fear can do to us. When there is fear, we lose all control of our faculties. We think we can't speak. We think we can't act. We can't do this and that. Fear engulfs us, paralyzed us. And we can't do anything because of fear. And Moses and God understood Moses' fear. Yeah? And so he wasn't there to tell Moses, don't worry about your fear, you will do well. He doesn't stop there, you know. He actually told Moses, I'm with you, I will help you. I will send Aaron to speak for you. Don't worry, these people are here to help you. I give you powers, the three signs that I will give you. The rod turns into a snake, your hand becomes leprous, water becomes blood. A lot of help was given to Moses by God Almighty. And he continues to assure Moses. So it is the same for us. When we are fearful, God will assure us. He will help us. How does he assure us and help us? Through his word. So it is very important for us to read his word, because his word to the people in the Bible is like his word to us. He's speaking to us. He's unchangeable. His love for the Israelite people, his help to rescue them out of trouble, using his power and miracles. It's very often the same that he will do to us, because we are his children too. And I'm sure you look back, many instances in our lives, God has helped us. He has helped us in our work. We encounter a work problem. He has helped us. Send people to help us. You can say, oh, this person helped me, that person helped me. It is God sending these people to help you. You overcome this problem and that problem. It is God's help to us. Yeah? So fearful as we are, we must go through the task, knowing that God is with us. That is sufficient. Remember, God's method is not, if you are fearful, I will remove the task from you. It's never like that. Yeah? If you are fearful, you have got to, because that task which you are fearful of is from God in the first place, for you to go through. And he assures you, I will be with you as we go through this together. I will help you. But you must trust me, have faith in me, that I will deliver you from this task, as he did to Moses. So that is applicable to all of us. We all have problems. We all have troubles. Whether it's work with your boss, whether it is with your family, conflict, relationship problem, friends, colleagues. Sometimes they can be a big problem. God tells us, there's a problem, deal with it. Come to me, I'll help you. But you have to deal with it. So we have many fears, anxieties. These may be due to health. We are sick. We are fearful. Death. Ongoing sicknesses. Work. Problem with the boss or colleagues. Personal needs. Short of funds to meet daily needs. Relationship problems. Conflict with family, colleagues, friends, tasks we need to do, provide for the family, being a caregiver, etc., etc. There are a lot of fears and anxieties, but God knows our fear. We need to go to God to overcome our fear by doing the following. Bring our fear to God in prayer. Ask him to deliver us according to his will. Repent of our sins, if any. Seek forgiveness, conduct our lives in righteousness. Many a time when we face with a problem, people who are as pragmatic as I will deal with the problem. God is out of the picture. With our own intelligence, our intellect, and our connection with people, we try to get help and try to deal with it ourselves. That's one way, but that is not a God-given way. God's way is, yes, you got to deal with it, but come to me in prayer. That is important. Come to me in prayer, seek me, and you will find me, and I will help you. As we go on in life, you find that many things, many troubles are out of our control. It is all in the hands of third parties, other people, and we depend on them, their favor, to help us to get over this issue, this problem. We need their help. It's out of our hands. We can try as best as we could, but if somebody doesn't do something, We are stuck with the problem. And so, we need to pray that God will help, because it is out of our hands. And God, that's what God wants. He wants us to go to Him, to trust Him with our problem. If you believe that God is in absolute control of all events and circumstances, He is the Almighty God in absolute control. Even the trouble is from Him. It's under His control. Why does He put troubles in your life? So that you run to Him. You plead with Him. You trust Him. And then He will delight in you and help you to overcome your trouble. In Isaiah 41:10, God said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." That means, do not feel concern and distress. "For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That is very comforting. When we are in distress, when we feel anxious about certain things, God says, "Do not fear. I am with thee. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you." So God protected Moses from his enemies for 40 years in Midian. When Moses killed the Egyptian guard, Pharaoh wanted to kill Moses. God protected Moses by allowing him to escape to Midian. From man's point of view, this was a setback in Moses' life. He had fallen from grace of a high Egyptian prince to become a lowly shepherd hiding in Midian. But Moses' time in Midian was God's will to protect and train Moses. What is the spiritual lesson here? God protects us too. When we meet with disappointments in life, ill health, bad boss, retrenchment, God is working to protect us, to strengthen us in our faith, bring us to a new place. So you look at Moses' life, he was a high Egyptian prince. Everything was there for him. Power, glory, riches. And he killed an Egyptian guard. And that his life was spiraling downwards. Because Pharaoh wanted to kill him. He had to escape to Midian. For 40 years, he became a lowly shepherd. Where was God in all this? What is God's purpose in all this? Why didn't God put Moses, prince of Egypt, there and then, rescue the 2 million people and out they go to the promised land as a mighty prince of Egypt? That was not God's will. God brought him down very low, an escaped convict for 40 years in Midian. God can do that to us too. Yeah. Bring us down very low in our life. To learn something. Because Moses was trained in the wilderness for 40 years under God's training, discipline. And after 40 years, he was ready to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Not as a prince of Egypt, but as a lowly shepherd sent by God. So we are the same, you know. God doesn't put us up high and mighty all the time. God puts us down low in the valley sometimes. And we wonder, why, God, why? Why have you put me down in the valley of tears? What wrong have I done? Did Moses blame God? God, I wanted to bring the Israelites out of Egypt as a prince. Why didn't you do it? Why did you make me rescue the Israelites out of Egypt when I was a prince? Everything will be so easy. I have all power and riches. God, it's your fault. Do we think the same way? God has a better plan, right? And Moses became low as a lowly shepherd, and he went to rescue the Israelites. Egypt and Pharaoh saw, and the world saw, that this was a lowly shepherd, empowered by God with the 10 plagues. And Pharaoh had to give up, kowtow to the lowly shepherd, and give in to God, let the Israelites out. That is the manifestation of God's glory. That he can use a lowly shepherd to outdo the Pharaoh of Egypt. And that brings glory to God. What a powerful God we have. What a powerful, almighty God we have. That he can use somebody who is so low, so far down in status, to accomplish such great, mighty work. And against the most powerful man in the world at that time, Pharaoh. So that is how God used people. He made use of the lowly people to do great things for him. So that is how we are when God will use us. He will use us when we are lowly. To be lowly, some of us will find setbacks in our life. And God will then mold you, empower you, and you'll be successful in God's will, God's work. So my personal encounters when God dealt with me was, he healed me of a serious illness. God provided new job after leaving without jobs. My modus operandi, please do not follow me, is that I always resign before I find a new job. That is not the right way. But God is true and faithful. He always provided me a new job after I resigned. Troubles in company after leaving company protected me. Yeah? I left, and there was then trouble in the company that I have left. New jobs in NUS was God-given. So were all the new jobs God-given to me. If God is with you, do not be anxious when we meet setbacks in life. If God is with you, do not be anxious when we meet setbacks in life. Of course, it's easier said than done. I know that many of us, including myself, are anxious when things go wrong. What to do? How am I going to resolve this problem? But from my experience, they have been resolved. All of them in the past, resolved. Praise the Lord. So God instructed Moses to perform all the miracles before Pharaoh to persuade Pharaoh to release the Israelites. But God will harden Pharaoh's heart. Let me read to you verse 21 of chapter 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go. God wants Moses to rescue 2 million Israelites out of Egypt, and God will harden Moses' heart, God will harden Pharaoh's heart, not to allow Israelites leave Egypt. Do you notice there's some inconsistency somewhere? Very odd, isn't it? God wants Moses to rescue 2 million people out of the promised land, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart not to allow the Israelites to leave. So the trouble Moses faced when he was in Egypt came from God. God hardens Pharaoh's heart not to allow the Israelites to leave. Why did Pharaoh do that? I mean, why did God harden Pharaoh's heart not to allow the Israelites to leave? Again, it is part of God's plan. As we go on, it will be revealed in Scripture. So God will guide us in our way despite troubles that we meet. And here is a distinct example of trouble Moses met, which was God refusing Pharaoh to allow the Israelites to leave. Moses' trouble is foreordained by God. Right? It's in Scripture. But God will guide us in the way we should go forward, just as God guided Moses to go forward. The reason why God didn't allow Israelites to leave immediately, God hardens Pharaoh's heart, was because there is a timetable involved here. Timetable is the 10 plagues must come into display first, manifesting the power and the glory of God. After the 10 plagues is shown, Pharaoh and the rest of the world saw the mighty hand of God. Pharaoh gave in to Moses and released the Israelites out of Egypt. So that is the process. That is the events which is under God's control. That he wants the 10 plagues to be played out first before Pharaoh, so that the rest of the world will see God with his power and might, and acknowledge Lord God Almighty. So whatever it is, the trouble that we have, sometimes we do not see it being resolved immediately, because God has a timetable. God wants certain things to be committed to pass before it is resolved. So what we have to do is we have to commit whatever we are doing to God in prayer. Meditate on his word. We may meet failure just as Moses met failure because God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Our failure may be part of God's plan, just as Moses' failure when he first met Pharaoh was part of God's plan. But we must not give up, but continue to be faithful. So, there you go. And this is not the only time that you find Moses meeting failure, which is part of God's plan. Joseph's failure in life, one after another, wave after wave, was part of God's plan. Thrown into a pit, sold to a slave trader, became a slave to Captain Potiphar, thrown in prison because he was framed by Mrs. Potiphar. Why? All these setbacks in Joseph's life, why? Ultimately, he is to meet the baker and the cupbearer in prison. God's plan for Joseph. If Joseph did not end up in prison, he will not meet the baker and the cupbearer. Okay. God sinned, Moses sinned against God for not circumcising his son. This is an interesting scenario. Let me read to you verse 24. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. So he was traveling with his son, going back to Egypt. And he did not circumcise his son. Moses did not circumcise his son on the eighth day. As you read in Genesis chapter 17, 11, 14, it is a law for Israelites to circumcise their son on the eighth day of birth. It's a law. And God says, if you don't do it, that person will be cut out from the community, from God's people. Moses sinned against God, not circumcising his son. And God almost killed Moses for disobeying him. And let me read verse 25. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband thou art to me. So Zipporah saved Moses by circumcising the son. Right? So what is the lesson here? That God takes a serious view of our sins and the violation of his laws. We must be similarly minded not to sin and transgress God's law. If we tolerate our habitual sins, we may be afflicted by ill health, adverse events, trials and tribulations. God afflicts us so that we may change for good. Then Moses met Aaron along the way to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron told the elders of the Israelites everything God said to Moses. Elders and believed, bowed, and worshipped in prayer. So you see here, ultimately, everything went smoothly. They met the elders of the Israelite slaves. And the elders, after prayer, believed Moses that God sent him to rescue them. And you remember that Moses was full of fear that the people will not believe him. That did not happen. So God prepared everything. If it's God's will, it will fall in place. Huh? And his doubt did not come true. Okay. So, I will have to end here. And one takeaway for this lesson is, we will always have setbacks in our life, just as Moses. But, and our solution is to go to God in prayer. He's in control of all our circumstances in all our lives. He's in control. Sometimes we have to go through a little longer to wait, and we have to wait upon the Lord. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy lesson to us this morning on Moses and the burning bush. We pray, Lord, that we will learn to trust in Thee wait upon thee. And though we may be fearful, we know ultimately thou will deliver us. Because thou art our loving Heavenly Father, thou will surely look after us and care for us. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you for coming.